Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. It's really good to see you. And please relax at this moment because no one around the world can see anyone on Zoom. Apparently, Zoom is broken at the moment, and all you can experience is our audio. So that's the way it is. We are recording this service, so at a later time, we'll put it up on the website, and you can watch it if you so wish. But do stay with us for this audio experience. We'll just pretend it's like old-time radio, broadcasting live from the Church of Conscious Harmony. Anyway, it's really good to be together in the cloud for this worship service, wherever you might be. We bow our hearts to yours and feel the love of God connecting all of us. And do stay tuned in the weeks to come for updates upon our reopening process and decision-making. We're talking about these things. We're discerning how to do that in a wise and healthy way. So keep us in prayer as the leadership meets to ponder these things, and we'll keep you informed. Today is a special day in the life of the church because we get to focus on Mother Mary. This season of May, we've been feeling into our divine feminine and the mothers that have been with us on our spiritual journeys. And today we're going to ponder Mother Mary, who is such a significant presence in this church, especially since the Mary icon was placed in the back of the sanctuary, which you can picture with your mind's eye. And we have another Mary icon here in front of the camera that is right next to the chairs that looks so beautiful, and I hope that you can come back and see the recording to see the beautiful icon. But I thank you for your presence here today. Let's take a moment in the silence and ask Spirit to bless each of us and bless our world through this time together, that we would grow in love and consciousness. Amen. Amen. And now we light our Christ candle in the manner of godly play.
As we bring fire to this candle wick, making it glow with light, may we also bring the fire of love to this time of prayer and worship. Amen.
Amen.
Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song and our prayer. Holy Spirit, come.
Holy Spirit, come.
Please join us in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love." And since we can't see each other on Zoom this morning, perhaps we can see our brothers and sisters in our mind's eye and send them some love.
Join me in our opening prayer. We remember God, and God is in our hearts. And if you will be my echo, Lord, come to my assistance.
Lord, come to my assistance.
Make haste to help me.
Make haste to help me.
Amen. Well, last week we talked about the white bubble. White bubble, don't want no trouble. And a lot of times, that's enough. And sometimes, it's not enough. Sometimes, when we get way down here in the level of anxiety, we need bigger tools. So we also talked about what Glinda the Good Witch said about the Wicked Witch of the West: "Be gone, you have no power here." Well, I have been dealing with an anxiety that was a little bigger than my white bubble could handle. I think that a white bubble can handle lions and tigers and bears, but if you put in scorpions and spiders and sharks and all the other things there are to be afraid of, sometimes the white bubble really can't lift off because you're holding it down. And the fear that I put into the bubble last time was, it was starting last weekend. It was about my mama bear energy. I don't know if you're aware of it, but mama bears are fiercely protective of their young. And I have, let's see, let me get my basket up so I can reach into it better. I have in here a picture of my youngest child. This is Anja. And this is when she was little. We called her Anja Cakes. And now she is a big girl, and she's the manager of a restaurant. And she called me last weekend because they've decided to open her restaurant up to the public, and she's afraid. And so, of course, Mama Bear put all that anxiety into the white bubble, along with the lions, the tigers, the bears, the scorpions, the spiders, the sharks, and then every other thing in the world that you could be afraid of. And all of that was in my heart, my Mama Bear heart. And it wasn't just about Anja anymore, but it was. And so I realized that I had looked at the fear and I had said, "You have no power here," but I hadn't done the next step. And the next step is, let's see, I know you can't see all of this. I showed a picture of Anja Cakes and my bear, but the next step has to do with this witch's hat. And this is not the good witch of the north. This is the wicked witch of the west. But she wrote in the sky in big black letters, "Surrender, Dorothy." That was my cue. I needed to surrender Anja. I needed to surrender her to someone or something that did have power here. I needed to surrender her to God. And my friend, Lisa, reminded me of the wondering prayer, and I started thinking, I wonder how God is going to take care of Anja. And it helped so much just to say those words and to start thinking those words, that I was surrendering Anja. Mother Bear is not going to be able to protect her, but God can. And I needed to remember that. I needed that reminder. And I had another reminder. This little box right here is actually a gift box that Anja gave me. I don't remember now what was in the box when she first gave it to me. But Ming Chow, a long time, many years ago, taught us how to put our worries into a prayer box. And I looked in that box, and I had a worry about Anja in there from years ago that had been taken care of, and several other worries that had been taken care of. And so I remembered that making a physical act of putting that prayer in God's hands would be helpful, and it was. I wonder how God is taking care of Anja. And I also wanted to show you something else, and I'm not sure if you can see it. Oh, no, it's not this frog. That's from another story. Let's see. Oh, here it is. This is a worry eater. And those of you who can't see it, it has a pirate patch over its eye, but its mouth is a zipper, a big zipper. And inside, just like in the prayer box, you can put your worries. And you're not giving them to Flint, the worry eater. You're giving them to God, of course. But I've got prayers in the prayer box for Anja. I've got prayers inside Flint. Flint's also holding things like elections and even my talk this morning. So I want you to remember God. That's how we start all of our children's chapels. We simply remember God. And just like I told you a few weeks ago, if you've got your ruby red slippers, click them together 3 times. And that will remind you to go back to remembering God. Amen.
Our first reading is adapted from a prayer of Saint Teresa. We honor beloved Mary, for her heart is full of joy with love. For in the Lord her mind is stilled. She has renounced every selfish attachment and draws abiding joy and strength from the one within. She lives not for herself, but lives to serve the Lord of love in all, and swims across the sea of life, breasting its rough waves joyfully, and radiates love and care through the whole cosmos as Queen of Heaven. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
We set aims last week, if you'll remember. Did you remember? How'd it go for you? Man, I wish I'd known about aims when I was in junior high or high school. I knew there was something more than what I was experiencing or seeing. I knew there was a big picture somewhere, bigger than what I was seeing. And then when I found this church, setting aims and other practices, among other practices, have helped me see the bigger picture. I had a bit of a rough time with my aim this week. My aim was to see in myself what I had a problem with or I didn't like in others. Pretty early in the week, I saw someone act in a mean way, defensive, and I observed that. And then when I looked for it in myself, I couldn't find it, couldn't see it. So I just kept looking during the week. And then one night, I felt my chest start to tighten as I heard these defensive, mean torrent of words come spilling out of my mouth when I heard what someone said about someone else. And then they were gone. And Deborah asked me, "You identified?" And I said, "I'm not. But it was." And then I just sat there. Where did that come from? Where was that in me? And then I remembered the check-in question from Wednesday night's teen Zoom hyped meeting. Stuart asked us, "What do you do with the negativity within and your shadow?" So I pondered that question along with this experience, and I sat for a long time in the silence just listening. And then I saw the bigger picture of how what's in me is in others, and then what's in others is in me. And that verified to me that we are all one. I saw my I as we. That's a big picture. So, what will your aim be this week? I've got my aim. I'm in.
Our second reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise that he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
The scripture we just heard read by Marianne is called the Magnificat, and it's a fancy way of saying that Mary was praising God. Now, any mother who is a recent young mother, recently pregnant, I highly doubt that a young woman would say those high and falutin theological words. So those words were probably placed into Mary's little praise statement there for a theological reason, to announce that they understood this birth of Jesus as fulfilling God's promises to the nation of Israel and doing this amazing thing. Well, when we think about little Mary, young Mary, who could have been as young as 14 years old or perhaps even 12 years old, which would be hard to believe, but certainly a very young woman, we can see in her spirit a deep willingness to trust, and to trust something that was invisible, the Spirit of God, and to trust this mystery of the mystical dimension that she was interacting with, whether by dream or vision or by actual appearance of an angel. Whatever the case may be, she's clearly attuned to the spiritual dimension. And that's the first thing that I would say in terms of what means something to me about who Mary is as a model of my way of being, to be more deeply attuned to the spiritual dimension and to allow my body to be a receptacle of the spiritual dimension. It's so much more easy to conceive of Mary's physical body being the receptacle of the spiritual dimension because she embodies the womb. However, we are all wombs, so to speak, of the Spirit of God. And it was Meister Eckhart who said that all of us must birth Christ. So this dimension for us of being containers, of what is contained within us, is really important that Mary shows us that model of receiving a higher influence, which we name Holy Spirit or Logos or wisdom. And that reception births something that we couldn't do on our own. And we could simply call it a fruit of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. These sorts of things could be our children. We could call it wisdom. Wisdom could be born through our consenting to be receptacles of the Spirit, to be wombs of the Spirit by which Christ and wisdom and goodness is born. It could be in what Don was just talking about and what Deborah was just talking about, that we birth a commitment to an aim for a day or for a week, and that manifests through our consent to the aim, or that anxiety is transformed into faith. These are all things that Mary teaches us as a model. Bernadette Roberts has helped me a great deal understand the role of Mother Mary in Christianity, and truth be told, I really didn't think too much about Mary until I started my meditative prayer practice and realized that she also was, in a certain sense, a patron saint of the silence and that deep consenting of birthing Christ through the silence. But there's a fun quote that Bernadette has somewhere. She writes, Even God needed a woman to get something done. So she, Bernadette Roberts, which we're going to be talking about next week, was a great devotee of Mother Mary and had a deep love for Mother Mary and realized very early on that there was a distinction between God Almighty and Mother Mary. And I'm just going to read a little section about how she perceived that distinction for us. And then we have Mary Leah here, who is a dear beloved in this community board member. Mary Leah McAnally. I said that right. And she'll be sharing her personal experience. But let me just begin our time of sharing from hearing from Bernadette first. And she writes this on page 505 in Appendix 3, which is called Theotokos, which is a fancy Greek word of saying God birther or mother of God. And this is what she says. While God's work is transforming humankind's human nature, transforming all of us into Christ, Mary is the one who cares for the person and everything going on in their mundane day-to-day life. So while God takes care of what we are, human nature, Mary takes care of who we are. If God had not planned it this way, then of course it wouldn't be true. Although God's transformation of nature can be called a grace of human nature, it can be called a grace, yet grace is God's ordinary way of being and not an answer to our prayers. Nor is grace for the benefit of any one person, but only for humankind's nature, universally. So as marvelous as God's transforming work in human nature is universally, Mary's prerogative is care for the individual person, the who one is. Because her particular function in God is seeing to the mundane concerns of people's lives, this is why she has been revealed as Mother, where God's concern is with our essential human nature being transformed, Mary's concern is with the cares of individual persons. And really that is striking. I've never heard it put so clearly, which may answer some of your deepest questions, and it certainly answers some of my deepest questions, is where is God when it hurts? Where is God when there is a virus? Where is God when there's a bankruptcy? Where is God when there's no money in the bank? And God Almighty doesn't seem to respond to our prayers. And Bernadette was very specific. Every time I would say something that was of the nature of a prayer request, she would say this, "Well, Peter, I'll light my candle in front of my Mary icon tonight and remember you, and the mother will remember you." And that was it. And that's how she interceded for other people and people's cares and concerns. So, you know, I don't know how far to take this logically, but you might just try it out practically. You know, if you're not getting any response from God in your prayers, try praying to Mother Mary. And perhaps Bernadette's wisdom can be verified in this way. I think there's a deep truth to it. And of course, the connection between Jesus and Mary is so deep and unyielding. It's you can't separate the two. And we'll come back to that after Mary Leah shares her personal journey. So thank you, Mary Leah, for being a witness to the divine feminine in our community and for your willingness to be here today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. When you invited me, you specifically said in the email that you wanted me to come and share my experience of Mary. And so I am actually, I'm actually 3-1-2 woman. And so the intellectual side of me, my intellectual center kicked in when the request came, and I thought, well, I'll go and do some online research and I'll brush up on what Bernadette says. But then I reread the email, and the invitation was specifically to give witness and to bear my experience and tell. So I didn't do any research. Instead, I took a page from Miss Deborah and I brought some props. I went to the altar that's in my bedroom. Britt and I have an altar. And among the many things on that altar, there are three things that I brought today that is going to guide what I want to share. The first thing is a rosary. So this rosary was my mother's rosary. And when she died in 2003, Daddy gave it to me, which was really precious because it had been her father's rosary. And so this rosary has seen many years and traveled many miles and had many experiences. I grew up in northern Alberta, Canada. We lived out in the country. And my parents wanted us to have a great education. And so they sent us to the school in the city nearby. It's about somewhere between 17 and 22 miles away. And we drove to school as a family. Just right before 7 every morning, we would get into the family car. And as we would turn off our lane onto the township road, Mommy would begin the rosary. Now, if you don't know the rosary, it's a set of prayers. There's four prayers in the rosary, the way we said it. But for the most part, you're praying the Hail Mary. And there are five groups of Hail Marys, 10 each, so that makes 50 Hail Marys in the rosary. And then on what we called in my family the vestibule, the rosary's vestibule, there are three more Hail Marys, so it makes 53. And the rosary, the Hail Mary, is a call and response prayer. Daddy was driving, Mommy was calling, and we kids in the back were responding. And Mommy would start, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus." And then we kids in the back would respond, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Amen." And so it would go, bead after bead, mile after mile. And if you think that there are about 200 school days in a year, that made for over 10,000 Hail Marys. And what we know from neurological science is once you've done something 10,000 times, it's grooved a very deep groove in your neural networks. So the rosary to me is something that is in my being. And as I grew up and left the house, the rosary stayed with me. And like the song goes, "When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me." And the way that that happens for this one, oftentimes, is through this rosary. This rosary, I don't take this one when I travel, it's too precious, but a rosary has been with me in airports. The Hail Mary has been with me in airplanes, in cars, in hotels, on beaches, in mountains, and very often in bed. I'll wake at night, and I'll reach out for this very rosary, and I'll say it to myself. And what the rosary has done is created an impression in my body such that when I start, I immediately get a neurological response. My body starts to still. My heart rate slows, my breathing deepens, and I get lulled into the cadence and the rhythm of this prayer. Because when you're praying the rosary, your intellectual center turns off. And the cadence of the prayer is like a mantra, and it's soothing. And within very few of the iterations of the prayer, I can feel that physiological response. So from my earliest childhood, that rosary has been a mantra. The second thing I brought to share is a painted egg. It sits on a little stand, and it's got a picture of the Mary Mother icon, and she has the Christ child in her lap, and she's surrounded by flowers. And this is a reminder to me of the mother, Mary as mother. Now, I'm really glad, Peter, you said that many of those attributes we put on Mary have been layered on later. So the exaltation, the queen of the skies, the blessed mother, the heart of the world, all of those things are true. But for me, the vision and the image of Mary and as mother is not so much as a mother to me as a mother with me. So my mom was very devoted to Mary. And in the corner of their bedroom, there was a 3-foot plaster of Paris statue of Mary. And it's the iconic one with her arms extended with the blue robe. And how that statue got there is a whole other wonderful story that I won't tell today. But my mom saw Mary as a mother figure to whom she would turn. But for whatever reason, I never had that image of Mary when I became a mother. At 19, I got married for the first time. And in very short order, I had a young baby. And he was born on May 6th, and it was a Monday. And the following Sunday was Mother's Day. And my first husband and I lived literally next door to St. Alphonsus Church. So on that first Sunday after I was home from the hospital, we walked to the church with our new baby. And after church, as they did every year, the mothers were welcomed into the rose garden behind the rectory. This was quite a precious thing because no one was ever allowed in there, except father, of course, and mothers on Mother's Day. So I went with my new baby into this little sanctum. And it was so precious because the entire church knew that the mothers were in there. And it was something that was sacred to our parish. This notion that I was a mother meant that now I was part of this inner circle. And it was very precious. We sang a song in our parish, and a lot of parishes sang it that Sunday. And here in the Church of Conscious Harmony, we sing the refrain of the song. Gentle Mary, quiet light, morning star, so strong and bright. Gentle mother, peaceful dove, teach us wisdom, teach us love. And I sang that song over and over to that little baby while I was nursing him, while I was rocking him, while I was walking him, trying to put him to sleep. And that song created another neural grooving in my heart and in him. Even to this day, he knows that song. And those words, those attributes of Mary came to meet me. She was my mothering companion. She was quiet but strong. She was silent but yet serene and determined. She was gentle, but she was kind of fierce too in my mind. I don't know if it's sacrilegious to say, but I never thought really of the divinity of her, but more of her human nature. She was a woman who walked this earth, and she was a mother like I was. We were young mothers together. She was my friend. Well, shortly after that, my life took a little bit of a left at Albuquerque, and I found myself a single parent. My first son was 4, and I was pregnant with my second son when I found myself alone. But I wasn't totally alone because I moved back in with my mom and dad. And I was a single mother. And it dawned on me as I was reflecting this week that I think I knew that at some point Mary became a single mom too. We read about Joseph being there for sure at the temple when they lose Jesus, or when Jesus decides to be lost from them. He's there then, but he's not there during Holy Week, and he's not there at the foot of the cross. And so sometime in the intervening years, Joseph dies, and Mary's a single mom. And in those times, when I had 2 little boys, which is so interesting to say little because one of them's now 6'4" and one's 6'5", but at the time they were little. And that determination of Mary, that tenacity, that grit, really was the companioning, the mothering companion she was for me. You know, you have to remember that she lived in very troubled times. She lived in an occupied territory where violence and repression and brutality was the coin of the realm. And yet she stayed gentle and determined and loyal. And that to me was, it meant so much. So in my early years, I learned Mary's mantra. In that mothering time, she was my mothering companion. And then I came to the Church of Conscious Harmony, and what I have on my altar now is this wonderful card of the Annunciation, and this was given to me by a member of our church on my birthday. And it's an image of, you can't see it, so I'll just describe it to you, it's an image of the angel Gabriel. And what I love about this image is that the angel is not in the typical fierce kind of fearsome angel, fear not kind of angel. This angel is moderately androgynous, very soft and gentle, and is bearing important news to Mary. And the news, you know, you can imagine this young woman, it's very bewildering. And in the end, we know that she says, yes. But that's not the first thing she says. The angel tells her what's about to befall her, and Mary's first thing she says is, how can this be? I love that, because her intellectual center kicks in, just like it would for me. Like, what's wrong with this picture? This can't be happening, right? She's here. And the angel gives her some little relief. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And that seems to be enough, because then in the next moment, she makes that amazing consent. And it's really a two-centered consent. She's going to consent with her body. Let it be done. May it be done unto me according to thy will. But it's a consent of her emotional center, her will. May it be done. Not a bearing, well, I suppose I could do it. Not a resentful, why me? But I guess I'll do it. But this open consent of the heart. May it be done. May it be. And here at the Church of Conscious Harmony, I've come to understand what that consent is, because I don't think I got that before. That consent and what it means for this one. To consent to not knowing what's going to be next. It's one thing to say yes to something and consent to something that you know is going to happen, but she never did. She had no clue what was going to happen. Not the circumstances of the labor, getting there on a donkey, not the circumstances of the birth itself, not fleeing to Egypt, not coming back, not being there when he entered his ministry, none of it. She knew nothing of that, and yet she said yes. And so for me to say yes to this journey, to the dismantling of this false personality, to say yes, to sit in the silence, to say yes to whatever, that is what Mary has brought me. May it be. May it be. And so that's all I have to say, those three things. The mantra. The mantra and the mothering companion, and may it be. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mary Leah. So your devotion to Mary continues today. And did you ever lose touch with Mary or go through like a crisis of faith? A lot of folks leave the Roman Catholic Church or walk away. I mean, how did you get from there to here? And did Mary stay with you during that transition?
I think that because I never really focused on the divinity of Mary. She was never queen of the skies and for me. So I never really, if there was a crisis of faith, it didn't involve her. And it's really precious what you read before, because that was it for me. That's exactly who she was. She was that mothering heart. And it wasn't her fault that the church I belonged to had over the years become what it became. And it no longer served me. And interestingly, I didn't think about it till now, but the woman who brought me to the church was an OBGYN who all day touches women and their babies. And she invited me to come here one day, and we walked in, and we never went back. We didn't even say goodbye to our former parish. And we just stayed because this was home. This is where my heart belongs.
Thank you for sharing that. And Mary's heart belongs here too with all of us. And I don't know the whole story of that icon in the back of the sanctuary as we walk in, but I know it wasn't always there. It wasn't there when I first started coming here. And somewhere along the line, Mary became much more visible in the community. And the icon underneath down in the Theosis Chapel also is, I think, a very strong symbol of the way in which Mary has come into our community.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Maybe there'll be a rosary prayer group. Who knows? This icon here is from my little chaplet in my apartment. And it was written, the icons are written, not painted, by Tatiana Nikolova Houston. She is an Austin resident. She is a PhD, and she is from Bulgaria. And she was taught by her father the ancient art of iconography writing. And I have visited with Tatiana in her little studio, and I saw this icon, and I said, that's for me. I just love the beauty of it. It's a famous icon of Mary and Jesus. There's like 12 or 15 different very famous classic icons of Jesus and Mary, and I forget the name of this one. Let's see if she's got it on the back. No, it's not. But you'll notice that this is different than the one in the back of our sanctuary. The one in the back of our sanctuary has Mary both hands up blessing. Here she's just holding the Lord Jesus. So there are all sorts of different icons. But for me, I never had an experience or tradition with the rosary. And over the years, I was kind of enchanted by it, but I could never get into it. Mm. And I've tried, even recently, tried to get into it, and my, I guess, neural net is now crystallized.
Mm. Never say never.
Yeah, maybe so, but it's been hard for me to start that. But what I have done is every morning and every evening, I light my Christ candle, which I put in front of the icon, and I offer my prayers for people and for my life. And that has been my devotion to Mary. And to see her as the care of God, because I have felt the love of God through just the gift of being alive, and especially through nature. But if I'm really honest, I haven't really felt the care of God. I felt the companionship of the Spirit, the comfort of the Spirit, the friendship of Jesus, so to speak, intellectually. But that care of God, that feminine care of God, has really come into my life through my Mary icon. So this is a beloved mother to all of us, and I want to conclude our time, unless something else is emerging to you to share.
I'm happy to listen to more of what you have to say.
Okay. Well, we can talk a little bit about this if it comes up. Let's see. Not that bookmark. This one. This is from page 160 of her essay, Mystical Theology and No Self, Bernadette Roberts' essay, in her book, The Christian Contemplative Journey. And this answers the question about, you know, why pray to anything or anyone? And this is a really important perspective. All of Bernadette's theology comes from her experience of her spiritual journey, but it is coherent. The whole system is coherent, including the whole thing we just read about God takes care of the what, Mary takes care of the who. Well, that what-who distinction is exactly what she talks about, what happens with Christ. Anyway, there's such a beautiful symmetry to her thinking because it's grounded in experience, and it's born of experience. So she's not just philosophically talking about things. So here she's answering a logical question that comes up. If Christ is all there is, if we all merge into the oneness when we die, why pray to anything or anyone about anything? And so this is what she says. A friend once asked, if we're all to be transformed into Christ, does this mean that in heaven I won't see my parents, my mom, my grandparents, my loved ones? It's a really interesting question. If everything gets transformed into Christ when everyone dies, does this mean that in heaven I won't see my beloveds? And Bernadette says, my answer is this. However Christ knows them in heaven is how you will know them in heaven. That's a very tricky answer, I think. Very, very good, Bernadette. Very good. You can't skip around that. However Christ knows them in heaven is how you will know them. And she goes on to say, what few people realize is that the glory of heaven is such that just knowing your loved ones are in this same glory is all you'll ever need to know about them. By its very nature, heaven pales all worldly interests anyway. Having the mind of Christ, or the logos and intelligence of all creation, means we will all have Christ's own knowing. Thus in heaven, quote-unquote, knowing is not wanting or lacking anything. But, and then here she gets into this prayer thing, which is so interesting. But what about those in heaven we regard as special friends, like Mary or saints, and so special that we even pray to them? And she says, if only Christ is there, why bother praying to the saints at all? Indeed, are they even there? Christ actually gave us the answer to this question when he said, in effect, those who honor me or witness to me on earth, I will honor or give witness to in heaven. This is the why and wherefore of the communion of saints. Mm-hmm. Here we go. This is it. When we pray or petition the help of someone in heaven, like Mary or the saints, who we know has honored Christ on earth, our prayer goes directly to Christ, who will honor that saint as Christ sees fit. Although every prayer is heard and answered as God knows best, if Christ wants people on earth to honor those especially honored him, who honored him, this honor may become known on earth by granting those prayers or petitions. And this is how it works. Christ always honors those who have honored him, and certainly God has honored no one in heaven more than Mary. And so, this is what Bernadette concludes by saying, in Mary's name, God grants everything. So, you know, I find that Mary, this spiritual presence, this archetype of the divine feminine, is a shot in the arm to this cold-hearted masculine heart, you know, in a way that has awakened me in my spiritual life to a level, not a level, but to a place where it's warmed again and has a sense of hope that there is an energy field that is caring for me and for this world, and that we're going to be okay, and that we're all going to be okay in the care of Mary. And that doesn't mean that we all may be healthy, wealthy, and alive forever and ever, but that death is a part of the process on this earth, and that the beloved Mary sojourns with us, as does the living Christ, sojourns with us on this planetary journey that we're on as human beings. And, you know, one of the things I have really struggled with during this pandemic time is the fact that I don't know how to be a pastor to an empty room. It's really been a core to my exploration and inner work on this. How do I pastor people when I'm not seeing you, when I'm not visiting with you? And so I just wanted to remind you that it would be such a blessing to me to be your pastor and to Zoom with you or to call. So don't be a stranger. And one of the things I've been working with is the camera revealed something about me, like I think Anna said on Thursday night in the Journey School, that the camera has revealed eyes in me that I didn't know were there. And in particular, I feel like a bug in the light. You know, I want to be under the rock, but that camera's like this blazing light. Now, why is that? And I've been able to see, you know, that what that camera did to me was it shot me up into my head. And I didn't realize that my head was my sense of safety. And it was my go-to default state of feeling safe. You might just call it the Presbyterian in me. You know, and so I've seen this. I've been observing this shift up here in an empty room. It was this. It was all I could do was to just to function. And so here's the connection. Here's the bridge. The person I've been talking to is Mother Mary. And if I've said anything worthwhile during this pandemic time, it's because I've been looking at Mother Mary, and she's grounded me. And when I felt afraid and scared, and when I felt like I don't know what I'm saying in this empty space, because you all have been anchors to me, Mother Mary, more than anything, sorry, Don, has really been my salvation during this pandemic. And so I just want to share with you my inner work that has been really important to see. I never would have imagined that I could have so much insecurity come up just because of talking to an empty room. But on the other hand, you know, we're created to be in relationship with one another. And that has also shown me how important relationships are. And I guess more than anything, Mary is the care of God, the love of God, and it's inspiring me to be a more caring person, to remember people's cares, needs, to remember the particulars, to remember the who. You know, I can be pretty universal and be up there in the what, but to really stay connected with the who of you, the who-ness of you, you know, and to the who-ness of you, and to the who-ness of you. I think that's ultimately what it means to be a good shepherd, and probably what it means to be a good human being, and certainly to be a God-awakened God-lover for all of us, to be caring for one another, and to be benevolent to one another, as Mary was benevolent to so many. So thank you, Mary Leah.
Thank you, Peter.
My heart bows to the Divine Feminine in you, and to 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 all you beloveds watching. Let's take a moment in the silence. You've taken in some influences. Let's see that we might be the receptacle of these influences and see what's born from us and through us. Amen.
Amen.
For those of you who are committed to tithing and giving to the church, we say thank you. And if you are wondering how to give or to tithe, you can go to the church website, and there's a link that you can go to and link to a PayPal account the church has and pay digitally in that way. Or you could mail it in or drop it off at the church. And this is how we provide reciprocal maintenance to the church and to one another. I'll never forget hearing for the first time Tim give this prayer, that we give to the church that feeds us spiritually, and we remember the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's remember this truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. And we dedicate this love, this consciously chosen love and given love, to the victory of love over the lies of separation and lack and fear of lack for everyone who is in need on this planet.
Jasmine breeze, like incense in my head. Moon high in a coal black sky, illuminates my bed. The train outside my window, keeping vespers in the night, singing praises, praises for the word, praises, praises, praises for. Oh, Mother Mary, see.
Let us now join in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love.
We gather at the table to receive the presence of Christ. And though you may not be able to see this table at this moment, it is a good example of the spiritual nature of the Eucharist that is occurring invisibly beyond our senses, the presence of Christ in us. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love, that we may join in singing with all your saints.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete, we pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with song. This service has been recorded on video, so if you wish to watch the service, we'll post it on our website in the days and weeks to come. I thank you for your presence here today. I can feel the community of saints drawing closer to one another and know that the care of God and Mary is with each of us, holding the center as we grow. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit is also with us as we sojourn as humble ones of the earth. Amen.